Welcome to another episode of the Christian Combatants Podcast. I am your host and servant in Jesus Christ, Paladin Actual. I have another weird one for you today. You will never guess this topic. It is the most requested topic. If you look at my YouTube channel, it is the number one played video on my YouTube channel. It's not even close. Again, of course, I am talking about Christian furries. You guys just can't get enough of this topic. I don't know what it is. It's just so sensational, I suppose. The weird thing about this is that when I was going through seminary, this wasn't really a topic that came up. This wasn't really something that was discussed much. But having graduated seminary, I think it was a couple years back. It was in 2022, maybe it was 23. I read an article written by one of the seminarians. I think he was a first year at the time. He wrote an article all about furries. And of course, everybody sent it to me because they know of my affiliation with that group, my interactions with them. And for whatever reason, I'm finding out that there's a lot of seminarians discussing this topic a lot. I've got a field worker right now myself, and of course he talks about this topic a bunch. There's a vicar who is nearby at a nearby church, and he talks about this topic a bunch. And so for whatever reason, the seminary students, the younger ones, at least the ones under 40, seem to be obsessed with this topic. And you know what? Honestly, I kind of get it. It's sensational, and it's something that's really popular and really kind of talked about with teenagers and catechumens and a lot of the youngers in my congregation as well. So why am I talking about furries today? Today in particular? Well, some of you may know. In fact, if you've been following this podcast, and if you go to my YouTube channel, you'll know that one of the things I do in my free time, in all of my free time, I just have so much of it. One of the things that I do is I'm on Discord and I help moderate a Christian furry server. Now, I'm not a furry. I've never been a furry, although I do get accused of being a furry on a regular basis. And I got some questions from fellow pastors, not only, you know, saying, wait, you're not a furry, right? Just to make sure. But I got some questions from some fellow pastors that wanted more information on this topic. They said, hey, for whatever reason, this is a topic that keeps coming up in, you know, catechism classes and seminarians and whatever. And I don't know how you became the expert on this topic, but could you please give me an explanation, just a quick rundown of what I need to know about this topic? And sure, so I'll be putting together a presentation. I can't believe that this is, you know, one of these days this is going to be an academic paper. Watch, when I'm working on my doctorate, this is going to be an academic paper. reaching the lost sheep of God or something like that, you know, my mission outreach to the Christian furry community. But in all seriousness, this is something that he wanted a presentation. He says, hey, look, you know, maybe this is something that you could present to fellow pastors because we have no idea what any of this stuff is. It's so weird to us. It's so different to us. It's so strange to us. Could you please give me some sort of rundown? What is going on? What should I think about these things? There's sensational stories in the news going on about all kinds of like crazy and creepy things going on at schools and people pretending to be animals at schools. And there's all sorts of weird stuff going on regarding this topic. And for one reason or another, I've actually developed some degree of knowledge, I'll say, about the subject from observing it from the outside. I was originally going to make a Jane Goodall comparison. You know, Jane Goodall lived among the gorillas, but was not herself a gorilla. And so she was kind of the expert about gorillas for a long time. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of, you know, with me interacting with furries. But the difference is that the furries aren't actually animals. They're not. They're actually human beings. They're actually human beings that Jesus Christ died on the cross for to forgive their sins. So this is a subject not just about strange hobbies. This is a subject about people and their souls and their beliefs and things like that, kind of even being able to reach out to a group of people and being able to share the gospel with them. So what I want to do in this episode is I want to establish my bona fides. I want to tell you about how I got to where I am to be the subject matter expert on Christian furries without ever being a furry in the first place. I want to talk about this so I can say that I can speak authoritatively on the subject. So later on, when I put out a video presentation for pastors and teachers and parents and, you know, professors and whatever, to kind of explain to them what exactly is going on, that this isn't just some random pastor who looked up a few things on, you know, New York Times or Fox News or whatever, and this is their perspective. This is coming from somebody who's dealt with the community, for better or for worse, for the past, you know, couple decades, actually. There's a lot of experience that I have dealing with these people and seeing a lot of the commonalities, a lot of the struggles, and a lot of the reasons why they do what they do when they act the way they do. So let me start this off by saying, once again, I am not a furry. I never have been one, but I am active in the Christian furry community. I do get accused of being a furry fairly frequently, but I wonder if the same people who accuse me of being a furry would accuse a prison chaplain of being an inmate just because he ministers to inmates. Or maybe they'd accuse Paul of being a Gentile because he was an apostle to the Gentiles. Or maybe they'd accuse Christ of being a drunk and a sinner because he ate with drunks and sinners. Now, far be it from me to compare myself to such great figures as those, except that I've been given a rare opportunity to share Christ and Him crucified with a misunderstood and often hated group among other Christians. Now, many in this group are already Christians, but many are not. And if I don't talk to them about Christ, who will? And how will I respond to God if He asks me on the last day why I didn't share the gospel with this group of people that God put in my life? Now, if you as a Christian feel that it is inappropriate and beneath me as a pastor to share the gospel with furries, ask yourself if you'd feel the same way about a pastor who shares the gospel with drug addicts, with the homeless, with refugees, with students on college campuses, with Marines. Now, the fact of the matter is that nobody deserves a gospel, therefore nobody deserves a gospel any less than anybody else. So that's kind of my mentality regarding this subject. Again, I expect there's going to be a lot of people who don't listen to this episode who just kind of look at it and say, ugh, how could a pastor associate with, you know, such degenerates and weirdos or whatever. It's like, okay, you know, I'm kind of used to it. I'm not going to say that it doesn't irritate me a little bit because of just the lack of willingness to try to understand the situation. But I also kind of get it. It's icky. People don't want to talk about this subject. They don't want their pastors to be involved in this subject. They don't want to see Christ washing feet. That's icky. That's yucky. Yuck. Can't you just do, you know, the holy things, the nice things? And the fact of the matter is that pastors have to roll up their sleeves fairly often. Pastors have to go to hospitals and talk to people who are sick and dying. Pastors have to go and talk to criminals in prison. Pastors have to talk to people, you know, death row inmates and all these other things. Being a pastor is a lot of working with sinners. This shouldn't be shocking, but being a pastor means working with sinners and being able to say, hey, look, God loves these people. Now, I have plenty of reasons to maybe not associate with you know, people like this otherwise, but you know what? My Savior died on the cross for these people, and they need to hear the good news about that, just like I needed to hear the good news about that. This, of course, begs the question, who cares? Who asked? Why bother? Why do I talk about this subject? Why can't I just talk about, you know, some normal, why can't you just be normal? Why can't I just talk about normal theological things? Why do I have to talk about something weird and uncomfortable like this? Well, the fact of the matter is that you have teenagers in your congregation. I mean, at least I assume you do. There's teenagers in most congregations, but you have teenagers in your congregations. You have people in your congregation that, and this may shock you, have access to the internet. And if they have access to the internet, then they have access to this group of people, to They are aware that furries exist, if whether or not they interact with them or not. Even if your kids do not have access to the internet, they go to school with kids who do. Now, back in my day, we didn't have, you know, tablets and iPhones and stuff like that, smartphones and stuff. But the kids that go to your kid's school do, and they are absolutely talking to your children about these subjects. So you should be aware of what the conversation is about. You should be informed about what your children are learning from their peers, from their fellow students. Even if smartphones and tablets and stuff are banned at your school, which would be a good idea, there's no reason to think that such restrictions happen at, you know, at these children's homes. Even if you restrict your children's access to the internet, which you absolutely should, there is no reason to assume that your children's friends' parents have such restrictions for their children. So this is a topic that is being discussed with your confirmands. This is being discussed with the people who go to your Christian schools. And like I mentioned before, for one reason or another, the seminary students, I guess it's just that age. It's just a bit younger than me. I'm feeling like, you know, the boomer versus millennial type thing. I'm not quite that much older than the seminary students, but it's just this generation behind me that they are so tuned into the internet that they grew up with iPads and smartphones that they're aware of all these things. So they're discussing these topics. So we Christians, we pastors, we teachers and whatever, we need to be aware of, you know, of the topic being discussed. We need to be informed on this, not just, well, I read a Fox News thing about this thing, or I saw, you know, some creepy report on, you know, New York Times or whatever, but being actually informed about what's going on. So that's why this matters. My expectation is that there are going to be some well-intentioned pastors who are trying to educate others based on some research that he's read online. Now, I can speak firsthand about my interactions with these groups for decades. So this is not to say that I'm better than these other pastors. This is just to say that I have more experience in this area, and I am more than happy to share what I've learned and answer questions if anybody ever wants to reach out to me. It was never my intention to be a subject matter expert on this, but somehow it just happened. So before I can present any information about how to understand the group, let me tell you about how I got to such a bizarre niche knowledge of the subject in the first place. Now, currently I'm a moderator on Christian Furry Fellowship. This is a Discord server. Discord is a chat / social media / meme sharing program. If you're not familiar with Discord, I mean, it'd take too long to kind of explain it to you, but this is the way that the youths communicate with one another to play video games and to kind of socialize with each other. It's a lot faster than leaving angry Facebook comments and responding to angry Facebook comments with other angry Facebook comments. This is what we do now. This is how we argue and fight and get along with each other now. So anyways, that's what Discord is. I am currently a moderator on Christian Furry Fellowship. It is one of the Discord servers, one of the million or so that are online. I've participated in their Bible studies, I've prayed with their members, and I call many of the members on the server there my friends. But it didn't start out so friendly, my interaction with the furry community. The story starts out decades ago when I was around 13 years old. This was the age for my generation when we became troublemakers online. Again, without smartphones and iPads growing up, I mean, you could be a troublemaker online at like 7 years old now if you get your mom's iPad and start harassing people on Roblox or whatever you do. But back in the day, it was 13 years old when I started going online and playing video games with other people. Now, at a certain point, there was a game platform called Steam that was developed, and this allowed you to play video games with other people. But in addition to playing video games with other people online on the computer, you were able to make a little profile. It would have a picture that you know, an image or whatever, and then it would have like a short description of who you were, and you could add people as friends and communicate with them, you know, whatever. It was kind of a combination of social media, you know, very rudimentary social media and video games. Now, one of the benefits of this is you were able to categorize people based on the images that they chose to represent themselves. Now, furries in particular tend to choose really, you know, really obvious bright colored cartoon animals and stuff like that. So they're really easy to kind of pick out. So if you're on a video game and you open up the scoreboard, you know, because somebody on the other team just killed you and you're waiting to respawn, you open up the scoreboard and you look at the images of the people who killed you, you're playing Team Fortress or Counter-Strike or whatever, and you can spot those people who've got the cartoon animal avatars. And this is easy to target them and to kind of make fun of them and pick on their insecurities and all these other things. Now, naturally, as an obnoxious little 13-year-old sinner, I was drawn to the idea of cyberbullying these people who had these cartoon animal avatars, profile pictures, whatever. It was easy for me to kind of pick them out of the crowd and, you know, kind of pick on their same insecurities that I noticed between, well, basically everybody who's online. Just kind of be as mean as possible. So that was kind of how it all started, how I started interacting with furries at the beginning. To say it was hostile would be a bit of an understatement. Again, I was a naughty little 13-year-old. I was just being mean to people online. And this was an easy group of people online to pick out from a crowd and to bully. Now, time continues to progress, and it comes time for me to turn 18. Now, after I graduate from high school and turn 18, the first job I get is as a video game tester. I go work at Activision, I think, before they absorb Blizzard. And then after that, I ended up working at 2K Games, Take-Two Interactive, something like that. I was working on a baseball game. I don't care about sports at all. So naturally, during the break time, we would go into the cafeteria, the break room, and we would start playing Super Smash Brothers with each other on the GameCube that was set up in the break room. Now, of course, this is what video game dorks do. When we're done testing, when we want to take a break from testing video games, we go into the break room and play video games. We play video games we actually want to play. And I'm playing against this fellow video game tester in Super Smash Brothers, and he always picks Yoshi, and I don't even think anything about it. It's just, okay, different people like different characters. I play as whoever, usually Link. He plays as Yoshi all the time. Don't even think twice about it. You know, I'm friends with this guy. He says, hey, add me on Steam. I add him on Steam. And then I make the mistake of looking up his email address online to see, you know, what else is this guy connected to aside from Steam? The reason this guy is playing Yoshi every time we play is because he's obsessed with dinosaurs. He's obsessed with cartoon dinosaurs. And I'm like weirded out. I don't play with this guy online anymore. I don't hang out with him in the break room anymore. This just weirded me out. That was my first experience meeting a furry in real life. And I was, it was weird. And I was not a fan. So I continue to be a menace online for a couple more years at least. I ended up joining the Marine Corps. Now, I joined the Marine Corps. I go to Intel school. And unfortunately, Intel school is full of dorks and nerds like myself. And one of the people that I end up working with is like, this is his whole identity is furry. He has furry written on his, he's got like a Star Wars helmet he wears around at formations and stuff. He says, I'm a furry, or I heart furries, or something like that on the helmet. And he's always talking about, he's got these like fox ears that he wears. Really, really weird dude. I found out later on, I mean, I've got all kinds of stories about this guy. Thankfully, he did not go to war and get anybody killed, because he was possibly maybe top 10, one of the worst Marines I've ever encountered in my life. And there's some pretty bad ones. But this guy, I find out after the fact that he's got severe mental illness, because he's a, I don't even want to say he's a recovering drug addict, because the way he got out of the military, he ended up going AWOL. He deserted his post at Intel school. He went back home to the trailer park where his mother lives, and they continued to get back into meth together. So he had a lot of kind of mental issues beforehand. I don't know how he got in the military in the first place. I guess, you know, one of the ones that slips through the cracks. But that was kind of my second interaction with anybody in person who claimed to be a furry. Now, naturally, this did not increase my appreciation for this group of people in particular. Again, this kind of reinforced my idea that these people were just incompetent, weird, degenerates, just, you know, scum of the earth type people. Unsurprisingly enough, the third furry I ever met was also in Intel school, the exact same one in the Marine Corps. And I won't get into details about how weird this guy was. He was not as bad as the previous guy, but he still, he did not behave appropriately. The things that he talked about were extremely inappropriate. He was extremely unprofessional. You couldn't count on him for anything. He was annoying. He did, you know, he also wore like a clip-on foxtail everywhere he could when he was in civilian gear. He really wanted to be my friend really badly, and I did not like him at all. And I just kind of kept my distance from him. I didn't, you know, I was a keyboard warrior. I only bullied people on the internet before then. I didn't, you know, pick on him in person, but still, I didn't want to hang out with him. He kind of creeped me out. So that was kind of strike three for me, that I'd met these three people, the one dinosaur fan, the other one, the drug addict, and the third one, just kind of the weirdo. And that really solidified my idea of what this group was about and what kind of people were involved in this group. This is where things got a little bit more interesting. I don't want to say that it changed, but this is, I guess, the inevitable result of interacting with the same group of people for a decade. Now, like I said before, I've been picking on people online since I was like 13. At this point, I'm about 23 years old, you know, so about a decade of doing this. And a lot of the people that I used to pick on online, you know, they would block me, they wouldn't talk to me, that sort of thing. That was expected. But every once in a while, they'd stick around, and they enjoyed the attention that they got from being harassed and trolled and bullied and whatever online. And after about 10 years of even picking on the same people, I ended up talking with them with less and less hostility. It even got to a point where some of them, I started to become friends with some of them. It was just, I mean, again, the foundation of our friendship was me picking on them. But for one reason or another, I was just familiar with them. They were familiar with me. So we were able to form some sort of weird rudimentary friendship based on just, hey, I know this guy. I've talked with him for 10 years. He's an internet person that I know. I don't want to say that these people were Christians. In fact, I don't think I can think of too many of them that were. And most of them, again, were not particularly well behaved. It was just people that I was used to talking with. One facet of me pestering these poor people online was this idea of moral superiority that I used to have, that I'm a Christian and these people are non-Christian pagan scumbags or whatever. And even if they would claim to be Christian, I would say, no, you're not, because you're a furry. And, you know, I'd bully them and pick on them and whatever. Anyways, because of that, a lot of these people that I used to pick on, they got this idea that, okay, you know, I don't like this guy, but at least he's a Christian. So at one point, one of these guys reaches out to me and he says, hey, I'd like you to check out this video. Or it wasn't even a video. I think it was a screenshot of a video. And in this video was this guy who claimed to be a practicing homosexual Roman Catholic furry. Now, his argument in the video was something along the lines of, he believes that even from a young age, everybody should be exposed to pornography, because pornography teaches how to appropriately love another person. He believed that it was a Christian perspective that he had, that this was just, you know, God is love and this is how you love one another, and these are visual depictions of it. So this was something that he was promoting. Now, around this point, I had been listening to Issues Etc. And there was an episode of Issues Etc., I believe, when they were interviewing somebody. I think she was a bishop in the ELCA or something like that. It was somebody, it was some higher up in the ELCA. And obviously, you know, Issues Etc. is an LCMS mission. So they don't believe, they don't agree with the positions of the ELC. But it was interesting to me that they were able to interview this person with wildly different worldviews and theological perspectives. And it was a civil interview, and it was interesting, it was entertaining, it was informative. And it wasn't particularly confrontational, but at the same time, there were a lot of questions that were asked that kind of pressed some of those theological differences. Now, after listening to this Issues Etc. interview, I, of course, had this big brain idea that, hey, I bet you I could do an interview, and I want to do an interview with this guy, and I want to see if I can do something similar. If I can, rather than just troll and cyberbully and whatever like I'd been doing in the past, what if I actually asked this guy legitimate questions and saw if I could maybe, you know, catch him in some sort of logical paradox, if I could catch him with some sort of cognitive dissonance or whatever. So I decided I would reach out to this guy. I don't even remember how I got in contact with him, honestly, but I was able to contact him somehow. And I reached out to him and basically said, hey, would you be willing to, you know, sit down and have a conversation with me and kind of explain your position a little bit more and kind of explain a bit who you are and whatever. Anyways, I have this interview with this guy. His name is like Genesis or Genesius or something like that. I don't remember. And I have this interview with him, and the entire interview, he's just so vile and he's so foul. And if this guy was a Christian or a Roman Catholic or whatever, it did not show up. And every time I questioned him, I said, hey, look, this is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches in, you know, the Roman Catholic Catechism, or this is what the Bible says about this thing, yet you say this contrary thing. Every time I would bring out one of those things, he would respond with something along the lines of, well, I haven't really thought about that. Oh, I didn't really think about that. No, I don't really know. And I found out very quickly in this interview that this guy, he hadn't really thought out any of these things. He was just kind of making a statement online, and he appreciated the attention that he got for making such controversial statements. Now, the interview itself, in hindsight, it was kind of a boring interview. I remember listening to it again after the fact, and it wasn't really that much fun. It wasn't like, you know, you see these great debates between these two brilliant minds disagreeing on a topic. It was kind of, there were some things that he would say, and then I would bring up Bible verses that contradicted his position. He didn't really know how to explain these things or resolve the contradiction, so we'd move on to the next subject, and it was just peppered in between with the most kind of inappropriate jokes and language and all this other stuff. So in hindsight, it actually wasn't a very good interview. I'm glad that it's lost to the bowels of time. But having done this interview, I then got this idea. I thought, well, that was fascinating to find somebody who was a furry and claimed to be a Christian, and then just kind of poking so many holes into their argument. This was an upgrade from trolling and cyberbullying, because back then, before that, you know, my modus operandi was just making fun of people and hurting their feelings. At this point, I was actually doing something. I don't want to say that it was beneficial, but it was actually something somewhat coherent. I was saying, look, this is a conflict between your belief and the beliefs that you claim to have. So I thought, what is the next step? If this guy, you know, homosexual Roman Catholic furry, like if that was the pilot episode, how do I build on it from there? So I started looking for, you know, the next best thing. Now, the next step up from furry, as far as I understood from these internet people, is this group called Otherkin. Otherkin, unlike furries, don't have this sort of make-believe perspective to what they do. Rather, they claim an identity. They identify as a dragon. They identify as a wolf. And their idea is that they have a wolf or a dragon or whatever soul trapped in a human body. You may notice that this is actually a fairly popular perspective today, although not necessarily for dragons and wolves so much. But this idea had been around for a while. So they have this idea that they are an animal spirit trapped in a human body. And I thought, okay, that's the next step of bizarre. Let me see if I can find a Christian Otherkin. Now, of course, I understand the inherent contradiction between the Christian belief that, you know, God made us male and female. He created us, that he actually created human beings with human souls and human bodies, that it's not possible to have an animal soul in a human body. But still, I wanted to try to find somebody who thought that they were Christian and at the same time claimed to be Otherkin and believed all these things that the Otherkin believed. So I started asking around. I got invited to a few Discord servers. This is where Discord was first starting up, I think. Now, I didn't pretend to be anything. I didn't pretend to be a furry or another kin or anything when I joined the server. I just said, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian man. And I'm just curious. I'm interested. I want you to kind of explain these things to me. And I'm looking for a Christian other kin. But I'm willing to just stick around and kind of, hear you guys out. And a lot of these servers had rules about, you know, against actively proselytizing and stuff like that. So when I joined these servers, I would actively get a lot of hatred from a lot of the members, because most of them were pagan, atheist, Satanists, something like that. They were actively opposed to Christianity for obvious reasons. So while being on these servers, I would get a lot of hatred from these people. But at the same time, after being on the server for a while, people understood that I was a Christian and I was available for them to talk to and for them to ask questions about Christianity. This was an interesting opportunity for them because I was in their camp. I was in their safe space, but I wasn't being invasive in the sense that I wasn't promoting my own beliefs, but I was available for them to challenge me. So they were surrounded by their peers and they felt confident to be able to challenge, you know, the Christian who's out of his element here. Now, while there were occasionally some public conversations about the Christian faith, most of the time it was private conversations that these people had. They'd reach out to me. A lot of the time it would be just kind of mean accusations and statements and stuff like that. Sometimes it would be gotcha questions. In fact, you know, somebody would Google contradictions in the Bible or something like that, and they would throw those at me. But every once in a while, you'd get somebody who would actually genuinely be curious about Christianity. And this would be one of the few opportunities that they would have as a pagan, as an atheist surrounded by Satanists, to actually talk to a Christian who is willing to give them the truth, rather than, you know, their expectation of a Christian is somebody who stands on the corner with a billboard and is just kind of shouting slogans and is not actually approachable. It wasn't most of them. Most of them hated my guts, but a few of the people actually appreciated that I would be honest with them about my beliefs and be willing to share those beliefs honestly, even though I was in the minority and I was setting myself up for criticism from the entire community. Ultimately, I never found a Christian otherkin to interview, but I did have the opportunity to share the Christian faith with a bunch of people who otherwise would never have interacted with Christians. I ended up staying on these Discord servers for about 2 years. And in fact, at one point, I think I was on like 8 otherkin Discord servers at the same time. But I couldn't stay on. It was spiritually draining. After all that time spent on these servers, it was just being surrounded by people who hated Christianity, who hated God so much, people who glorified sin and everything that they said and did and talked about. It was just draining. I couldn't bear to be on these servers anymore. It was emotionally devastating. It was spiritually draining. I had to leave these communities. So I ended up leaving all of the servers, but still a few of the people from the servers would reach out and talk to me now and again. These were more the people who were more receptive to hearing about Christianity and asking sincere questions about Christianity. I'm not in contact with any of them anymore, so I have no idea if any of them actually became Christians at any point, but it was interesting that they would still talk to me about these things. This was still a few years before seminary, but at this point, I just involved myself in Christian servers. I wasn't trolling anybody online anymore, cyberbullying, or anything like that that I had done in the past. I actually felt kind of guilty about those things, as was appropriate. I shouldn't have been treating people like that online, or in person, obviously. But I just wasn't involved in that stuff. I just wanted to be involved in Christian servers, and I wanted to, you know, have fellow Christians that I could talk to and develop my faith. I still had many of the same contacts from almost a decade ago, and they would talk to me now and again, but never regularly. I ended up joining a large Christian Discord server called Christcord, discord.gg/Christian, if you want to join it. It's still there. It's a wonderful server. I ended up joining the server before seminary, and then I started actually attending seminary in about 2016. So I'm going to seminary, and I'm very active on this Christian Discord server. And a lot of the things that I'm learning in seminary, I'm bringing to this Christian Discord server, and I'm bouncing the ideas off of other people. I'm arguing with Roman Catholics about, well, everything Roman Catholics believe on a regular basis. So the Reformed will come up, Calvinists, and we'll have these discussions about baptism and the Lord's Supper and all of these, everything, you know, the Pope, everything that you would ever want to talk about and argue with people about other denominations. I'm able to have these conversations with people while I'm in seminary. So I'm able to go back and forth between my seminary professors and my fellow students at seminary and these people online on the server, and I'm able to challenge all of these ideas and really build up a robust understanding of the Christian faith and the Lutheran doctrine in that Christian faith. And everything is going along, you know, just swimmingly on this Christian Discord. And out of the blue, one day I get a message from a friend of mine who, you know, I've known this guy kind of, I've talked to him a little bit, you know, off and on for about 10 years. This was one of the kids that I used to bully and harass online, I don't know, a decade ago, for being a furry. And since then he has abandoned, is at least publicly, he had abandoned kind of the furry aspect of his life and wanted to become a Christian. Now this guy, he's got some issues. He's got some pretty significant mental issues that he's dealt with and he's continuing to deal with, going to therapy, you know, having medication for some pretty serious stuff, some mood swings, some stuff like that, and a lot of insecurity in terms of dealing with people online. He doesn't have a lot of trust with a lot of the people that he deals with online. Well, this guy has come back around to being a furry again. He's been on the Christian server with us for a while, and he said, you know what? I just can't get away from this. This was the only place that I felt comfortable is in this group of people. He reaches out and he messages me one day, and he says, hey, I found this Christian furry Discord server, and I would like you to please join and vet them for me. I'm like, what are you talking about? Is vet a pun for something? He says, no. I want you to join up, and I want you to make sure that they're not a bunch of weirdos. I'm like, well, you know, they're furry, so it's pretty much guaranteed. He says, no, theologically, I want to make sure that this isn't some, like, I don't know, slap a Jesus fish on the back of the car, listen to Christian rock on the radio, and then go to a Joel Osteen concert or whatever, that this isn't some sort of vague spiritualism disguised as Christianity, or Christianity kind of hiding the sinful aspects of sin. I want you to make sure that this is an actual Christian group that has actual Christian theology. And I said, yeah, sure. I mean, I could join up. I'm sure it's a bunch of weirdos, and, you know, I doubt that they have a very robust grasp on the Christian faith, but, you know, I'll check it out and I'll see for myself. I've got a little bit of respect for going to seminary. So there's kind of an expectation that if I don't know the answers to theology questions, I at least know people who might know the answers. So this is one of the reasons that he, I guess, kind of trusted me to theologically judge this server. Naturally, this invitation is to the Christian Furry Fellowship. And I went in, I don't know if I expected it to be a weird sort of cult or what I expected, but I went in and I said, you know what? I'll go in with an open book, and I'll say, okay, you know, what are you guys teaching? How are you teaching? How are you dealing with sin? How are you confronting sin? That sort of thing. I went in with all the questions that you might have if you went into that sort of situation. So I joined the server. I never pretended to be a furry. I never hid who I was. I said, hey, look, I'm a Christian who's going to seminary right now. A friend of mine invited me to the server. He wanted me to make sure it wasn't like a cult, or it wasn't like a trick, a joke, or whatever, where he joined the server and people would just bully him or whatever. He's got a lot of sensitivity that he's dealing with, and he really needs a strong Christian community. So I wanted to check this place out and, you know, see what you guys have to offer, see how you run things, that sort of thing. Is it okay if I, you know, if I come in and I look around? Thankfully, the owners of this server were actually fairly receptive to this. They didn't require that everybody who joined the server was a furry, thankfully, or I never would have made it on in the first place. But they said, yeah, absolutely, sure. Come on in and, you know, meet some of the other people and meet some of the Christians and, you know, be a part of our Bible study and stuff like that. So I did exactly that. I went on. I started talking to a bunch of the members. I started listening in on their Bible studies. I believe they had, I think he was a Calvinist, some sort of Presbyterian or whatever, was leading the Bible study at that point. And, you know, it wasn't perfect Lutheran theology, but it was solid. It was well-researched. He was using some good commentaries. I mean, about as good as you can get without being Lutheran, am I right? But he was using some good, decent commentaries to do some actual Bible studies. It wasn't like going around the room, what does this verse mean to you? I feel this verse is telling me that such and such. He would say, you know, this is what Cyprian says about this, and Ignatius says whatever. And I was like, okay. Like, these guys are actually taking their theology seriously. They would actually pray for one another. And when topics of sin came up, they didn't make excuses for sin. They didn't just say, well, you know, this is part of the fandom or whatever. They would say, no, this is sin. We need to mortify sin. We need to put this to death. And they would circle around other people who were struggling with sin. And they would say, look, you know, let's pray together regarding this sin. Let's remember the forgiveness of sins. And it was honestly wonderful. And I loved it. There was so much activity. It was such an active Christian server. And yes, it was filled with all kinds of weirdos who would draw cartoon animals, and they would say, you know, when they're comforting each other, they would say, oh, you know, I wish I could give you a hug and stuff like that. Like all this weird, I don't know, emotional, nice stuff that non-Lutherans have for some reason. But it was extremely friendly. It was extremely Christian. And I was like, wow, not only did I recommend to my friend, go ahead and join the server, but I ended up asking, hey, would it be okay if I stuck around on the server as well? Because again, remember, I'm just on Christian Discord servers at this point. I'm going through seminary and I'm interested in anybody who's kind of talking about theology so I can compare, you know, the seminary theology to the internet theology. So I stuck around the server for a while. And at one point they put out an application form for people to volunteer to moderate the server, you know, to keep trolls off, to keep the conversations appropriate, that sort of thing. And I thought, you know what, I'm already a moderator on ChristCord. Why don't I apply to be a moderator on, you know, the Christian Furry Fellowship as well? The current moderators, they were wonderful people. They're still there. I think all of them are at least a couple years older than me. There's one of them who might be younger than me, but they're married. They've got kids. They're very sensible people with, you know, perhaps some weird hobbies, but nothing nefarious or anything like that. So I applied and I got on a voice call with them, and they said, well, this is kind of unprecedented. First of all, you're not a furry. Why would you want to be involved in this community? You know, we're not super familiar with you. You've been on this, you know, this server a few months or whatever. We like the interactions we've seen. But we'd be willing to let you give it a shot and to let you kind of contribute how you could. I kind of talked to them about that I was in seminary and all these other things. I'm a moderator on this other Christian server, so, you know, I'm not some troll who's going to come in and destroy the thing. And they gave me a shot. And then since then, I've been able to work with them and kind of help maintain and develop that server and keep Christ as the center point of the server and really get to know these people and learn a lot of the things about them, a lot of the struggles that a lot of the people in this group deal with. Since then, it's been almost 8 years of me moderating on that server without ever becoming a furry myself, but I've come to know and love so many of the members of that server, so many faithful Christians, so many wonderful people who are seeking Christ or seeking more knowledge about their Savior and just so willing and eager to talk about theology. It's wonderful. After having experienced so many people in my life who are so hostile to the gospel, being surrounded by people who are so desperate to have as much gospel as possible, as much scripture as possible, as much God as possible, this is honestly, it's refreshing. It's the exact opposite of my experience with the other conservers. There it was spiritually draining to be around these people who glorified their sin so regularly. And then on CFF, it's so refreshing to be around so many people who are willing to say, hey, I need prayers for this, and I'm willing to pray for you for whatever's going on in your life. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful community full of wonderful people. At the same time, I fully understand that not everybody would be comfortable in that community, and I don't expect that everybody should be. But it's really been such a wonderful blessing that God has brought me into this community, this community where I'm able to not just pray with fellow believers, but I'm also able to reach out to so many people who are curious or new to the faith, where through my experiences, I was able to learn kind of the worst direction that this sort of fandom can go, as well as the most positive direction, that I was able to encounter people who were just the most vitriolic anti-Christians imaginable, and these other people on the other side of the spectrum that also like cartoon animals, but they love their Savior and they love the gospel and the death of Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. With my involvement in them, I've been able to share my love of Christ and also some other hobbies and stuff like drawing and fitness with a lot of these people. In return, I've learned so much about common struggles in the community, common pitfalls and things that they have to worry about and things they have to warn others about. It's been so extremely insightful and such honestly a bizarre journey to get to this point where I went from just tormenting these people to so many of my friends are these Christian furries. And I suppose it's some cross to bear that my association with furries gets me a lot of disdain from a lot of the Christian community. But hopefully if you've listened to this podcast episode to this point, you've followed my journey to see how I've gotten to this point, you'll see that I'm not just some dude who is embracing some sinful hobby and trying to plaster over it with Christian slogans, but there's a clear path that led me to this point that God has put me in a certainly bizarre but wonderful and unique opportunity to share Christ with people that I never would have associated with 20 years ago. And many Christians today would not associate with at all ever. In conclusion, hopefully I've demonstrated that I actually kind of know what I'm talking about on this subject. So when I put out a video eventually about explaining, you know, who the Christian furries are and that sort of thing, and maybe some of the positive aspects, because we all know about the negative aspects. Maybe some of the positive aspects that you're not going to just shrug me off as, well, he's just some dude who doesn't know what he's talking about, or that, you know, I'm a pastor who's just read some reports online and kind of formulated my own opinion based on the meta-analysis of those reports, but I have firsthand experience for decades of dealing with these people. My hope is that this gives greater understanding to the Christian community that, yes, we understand and don't overlook the pitfalls and the dangers of this community and this fandom, but that we understand that these are people that Christ died for, that we need to pray for, we need to possibly even reach out to and love. We need to share the law and the gospel with these people as Christ would have us share it with all people on earth. So to anybody who's made it this far, hopefully that was entertaining, if not educational. God bless you and take care.